Welcome to LifeRx Podcast, a show about living consciously in all aspects of your life with authenticity and integrity. I'm Eva Patel. Welcome again to the show and hope you had a wonderful week. Today, we're going to be talking about becoming your authentic self. I have a very special guest today with us. It's CEO, life and executive coach, and author of book Get Naked, Get Real, Get Happy, Becoming Your Authentic Self, Kevin Rafferty. Kevin wrote the book to help those who are awakening to higher aspects of themselves. All the learnings and wisdom he accumulated over his life journey seeking truth and answers to the big questions such as, who am I? Why am I here? What is life about? What am I going to do with my life? Are all included in his comprehensive workbook. He wants to give the reader a compendium of questions, exercises, and learnings that were instrumental to his own awakening and to those of his hundreds of clients. Think of it as a book for Spirituality 101 and as a reference guide to the remainder of your life. So stay tuned, because after the short break is my interview with Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Eva.
How are you?
I'm just perfect today. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good. I just wanted to thank you for being on the show, and I'm sure everybody's really ready to understand about how to become your authentic self. So the title of your book, Get Naked, Get Real, Get Happy, what does that have to do with becoming your authentic self?
Well, basically, I've always found that as I've journeyed through my time to try to find my own truth, my own understanding of who I am and why I'm here, it was a process of just getting naked to my own truth, being able to strip down barriers, beliefs, old habits and things like that, so that I could then get real with myself as to what's the truth here, what's true for me, what feels right, what intuitively resonates for me. And then as I was able to start becoming and getting into my own self that way, the happiness just descends. So really it's kind of a three-step process. I found even working with friends and clients, it's the same thing. We've got to get intimate with ourselves, break down the barriers, the walls, all the things that have kind of gotten in the way over the years as we've grown up from childhood to adulthood, so that we can then see the truth, see the real you underneath all of that, and then let that start making choices and decisions. Let that start experiencing life rather than the conditioned self that we typically are as we become adults.
Well, that's wonderful. So tell us a little bit briefly about your journey and kind of what brought you to write this book.
Well, I was born and raised a Catholic, and as such, I was very spiritual oriented even as a young person. But as I got into the dogma, and as I got older, I just found that I was the kid that always asked all the questions from which no one could really give me any answers. And even as a teenager, late teens, went off to college and started to literally question and was opened up to all these other trains of thought, you know, other religious beliefs, other worldviews. And so probably as a very young man, officially I became my quest for truth. You know, who are we? Why are we here? What's my best role? What am I supposed to do? How can I best be who I am? And so, and from there, it's just been a continual journey of reading, experiencing, and doing a lot of personal work, going to seminars, meeting with spiritual teachers, other healers, and just literally sitting and listening to what's bubbling up from within myself.
Yeah, and I do find that it is a journey and not a destination. So, you know, to the listeners at this point, I would definitely say that this is a quest where you kind of go on a journey, you embark upon this journey, and wherever the journey may lead you is the destination, but the journey is the process. I always believe, you know, in Hawaii, the road to Hana. you know, it's such a big thing that go, and there's nothing in HANA, but the road to HANA is where the magic is, and that's why I believe in life our journey is the magic, not necessarily just the destination. Do you agree with that?
Well, that is so true. You know, I found, at least for me, and I know that a lot of people close to me have shared the same thing, that no sooner do you think you've got an answer, you think you've figured it out, you think you've gotten there, life throws you a curveball. Something happens.
Oh, absolutely. Isn't that just amazing that in reality it's what, when you think you're going to reach this magic place of, you know, success, then all of a sudden a curveball is thrown at you. Yeah, right. And how do you deal with that when that happens? How have you dealt with it?
I've learned the key to everything is trying to stay awake and present and keep my awareness up, because that's the prime state we want to get to. You know, we're so conditioned over the years that we get into reaction mode when life doesn't go our way. We can jump into anger or frustration or worry or fear, you know, instantaneously. But even before our new brain, the brain that does all the rational thinking can kick in. So, you know, the key is how aware, how self-aware and present you can get yourself and maintain that.
You mean not just awareness as in, you know, when you're in conscious states of awareness, but more so in day-to-day living, being aware of your whereabouts, your thoughts, and keeping them positive?
I think the peace of mind, that, you know, for example, with people who meditate or concentrate or contemplate, pray deeply, you can get into a very, very, you know, self-aware state. The key is when you get off the cushion or get out of the chair, how do you go about your daily living? And you can take that same awareness, that same state of presence into your day-to-day and not let the reactive side, the triggered emotional, mental states pop in there that pull you away from your aware self. And that's actually, to me, that's your authentic state.
Being conscious and aware. And I find that sometimes, you know, because we do have a lot going on in our lives, that, you know, even when we're driving, we do it very automatically, very autopilot. How does one remain conscious and in that state of very present? Is it that, you know, you let the thoughts from the past and the future and all of that go and stay in the present? Or how would you suggest to our listeners to stay in the present moment in everything that, in a natural state?
A great question. I think it's one of the most important aspects of it. And I actually created, just for myself many years ago, what I call the authentic guidance system. It's sort of like a dashboard. You're used to driving in your car. I use the metaphor of the dashboard. Just continuing to ask yourself, especially when you start to feel tense or some other you know, maybe negative or not wanted state of mind. So I often just ask myself, what am I thinking and feeling? What's my mental state? And what emotional state, what I call that I'm in right now. And as soon as I bring awareness to my state, as soon as I ask the question, how am I feeling, what am I thinking, it's amazing how it's almost like it descends on you. You know, this thing, this presence just sort of descends back into your whole being. You feel it. So if you're feeling angry or you're feeling frustrated or you're feeling worried about something, just simply recognize that that's just an emotional state. It's not who you are. It's not what you are. It's just what you're feeling in that particular moment. And as soon as you call it that, what it is, see it for what it is, and if the energy, the negative energy, just immediately starts to wear down. And then you can get yourself into another questioning state and say, well, if I'm feeling fearful, what would I like to feel right now? What would I like to experience right now? And if I can get myself just back into some level of acceptance, or, you know, some level of joy or peace, or maybe feeling a little bit of freedom or contentment, or some description, some element of happiness, then I'm back into my present state.
Yeah, and I have to say, in one of our previous shows about soul consciousness, I say something very similar, and I feel that, you know, if we can just be the observer of, you know, this feeling that we get, you know, when we're fearful or worried or there's doubt, just be the observer and don't push it away. Don't let it go away. Just see it. And sometimes you can kind of let it go in a balloon up to the universe and let the universe take care of it and just get it out of your vibration, or just at least let it go. You know, stop holding on so tightly. And I find that that really helps. And then replacing it again, I find that nature's a really great way to release some of that, you know, finding time and a space to get out and about a little bit, being in nature and just seeing what's going around in nature. I think that really does ground you in a very, and brings you back to present time very quickly. So do you do that quite often?
That is so, that's the whole key. I think there's three states. There's a past, future, and present state we can live in. And most people who are unaware, who might still not be very conscious about, you know, who they really are or their own authenticity, and myself included, you know, in much of my life, you know, we can live in a past state of, you know, despair, maybe a sense of unworthiness, guilt, anger, blame, regret, irritation, or we can jump forward into the future. We've got pessimism, frustration, overwhelm, anxiety, doubt, worry, and fear. And those typically, unfortunately for most adults, end up being the default state. We kind of flip back and forth, and we don't really spend enough time in what I call the present moment states, which are, like I said, acceptance, optimism, some type of maybe excitement, enthusiasm, passion, joy, freedom, happiness, and gratitude. I mean, gratitude, but just by itself.
Yeah, I absolutely believe joy and gratitude are only two experiences you can experience in the present moment. I don't believe you can really past and future trip. It's nice to be in the present moment to feel that. And then, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, whether it's negative media, whether it's, again, you know, the high and the low of the financial situation of the world, how does one remain authentic and present?
Again, just paying attention to your moment-to-moment feelings and states of being. And then, you know, if you're looking for living a more authentic life, then maybe the next step for one is to, you know, start looking at really what your true makeup is. You know, what are your core values? What is it about life, your life, that you're driving passion? What are the top skills that are just natural gifts that you could give to the world, give to your family, friends at any moment? If you can kind of do some self-reflection and maybe even do some exercises and some pondering on these things, you can get to a real whole new sense of who you are. And then using your values and then trying to find outlets for your passion and your skills is just a wonderful way to stay in the moment, to stay present.
You know, and showing up, I feel, is very important. You know, just showing up and being that person that you are. And as you start being that person and showing up and living it, then it kind of becomes a little bit more automatic for you to be in authenticity in your day-to-day life. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I came up with a little formula that I have in my book that, you know, authenticity is awareness plus happiness plus living a life of passion in alignment with your values, having even a vision for your life, and you may end up having multiple visions as you grow and evolve, using your natural gifts, having a sense of purpose. But then it's also looking at, you know, what, you know, stripping away your fears, your limiting beliefs, your masks, and your negative emotions. So there's a lot of things that factor into authenticity that I have found, both positive and the negative side. But if you're feeling blue, you're feeling, you know, lost, you're feeling maybe some other negative state of emotion, we are masters of our domain. We can simply say, what am I thinking and feeling? We can, at any moment, you can simply ask yourself that question, and awareness starts to descend all around you. Then
That's
you can
wonderful,
make
yeah.
better evaluations and better choices.
And I always believe, you know, rather if you're feeling blue and down, rather than medicate, start meditating, you know, and that kind of brings you back to your authentic true self.
Very much so, yes.
So what are the key elements of living an authentic life?
I think the key elements are know who you are, and to me that's just knowing what your values and your passion and your skills are, and having a sense of when you blend those together, you know, those give you direction, purpose, meaning, and fulfillment. And so A lot of work that I do with my clients, especially right up front when I deal with them, is I get to know them through their values and their passion and their innate skills. Because most of the time, those are things that, you know, we sort of put in the back shelf, we don't really pay that much attention to. And then when we put some sunshine on it through some personal work, and actually, you know, you can either you go to my book or go to my website, you can pull these exercises up for yourself. And do the self-reflection. Now all of a sudden you start to have new criteria for which to see, you know, your real power. And then, you know, start exercising, start making decisions around your values intentionally with full awareness. Start, you know, doing something through your passion that brings yourself alive and where you can give your gifts freely. Have you ever, Eva, have you ever experienced when you are actually doing something you love, the time and
everything? Oh, absolutely. You lose sense of space and time, and you're just in a state of pure gratitude and joy. And I try to stay in that state as much as I can these days. But, yeah, it's just wonderful. And yet, you're right, when you're not feeling as good, it's like time's kind of dragging.
Yes. And you know how powerful that is. You're very creative. You're innovative. You're collaborative. You're communicative. All these things, all these positive states that you know, we work so hard in business in particular to train companies to do, you know, it just happens when you are being your authentic self, when you are
absolutely. And again, the creation part, I believe, you know, all of us have the seed of creation that's planted in us. It's up to us to nurture that and grow that and see the creativity within you and, again, you know, bring that forth. And it can be anything, you know. I mean, so obviously some people are artists or they're musicians or they've got this hidden talent that they've not brought out. But whatever it is, I feel that, you know, how do you recommend one should tap into their creativity?
I think you know, becoming very, very close and reacquainted with who you are as passion. And I use passion in a little different way. I look at, to me, we all have an essence, that there's a life energy that wants to express itself through us, and that's the real core passion that we all have. And once we touch that, once we get reacquainted with that, it's not about, you know, how people say, well, I would love to be able to be a musician, but they don't make any money, so I can't do that and support my family, so I have to let my passion die. Well, I would actually, you know, take that person and go a couple of steps, you know, even further and say, well, what about music, you know, really is the passion that drives? Because there's always something you can kind of keep drilling down. But once you get to the essence of what one is as passion, you can bring that up anytime. And it's amazing how you can carry that with you in every conversation, interaction, business transaction, chance meeting, get together with friends and family. And it isn't about things that you have to give up to do. It's just simply you in your natural state that actually is very, very magnetic. The people, you know, if we had more people who are living their passion, not only would everybody get along better, but it would be an infinite amount of creativity and innovation to probably solve almost all the problems on the planet today.
I absolutely agree. When you're in a state of passion and joy and you're around magnetically attached to people who are similar to you, you create a lot of magic. I mean, there's so much energy and everybody's uplifted, their spirits are uplifted. And again, you know, going back to authenticity, I feel that, you know, when you're around true, authentic people, your vibration's higher, you're feeling good, and yet when you're around people who aren't authentic and who are fake and phony, don't you feel that kind of contraction? So can you kind of explain that to our listeners?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, I think there is something truly magnetic. And I would ask your listeners to just imagine for a minute, who comes to mind when I ask the question, you know, who in your life really seems to have that extra something, that extra energy, that mojo, whatever it is you'd like to call it, that, you know, when you're in their presence, it's just magnetic, it's just hypnotic, you know, it actually uplifts you, they make you feel good. You're probably in the presence of somebody who is simply just being a truly authentic human being, and it shows us that we have that opportunity to be the same as well. Because we're all hardwired the same way. So really, just you know, the power from it. You know, once you get into your own present state where your values, your passion, your gifts are just simply present in the moment, you know, you bring your best self to any encounter, to any situation, to any decision, any choice point, you know, anything like that in your life. It's just, it's truly remarkable. And then you get addicted to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel that, you know, being authentic to yourself is also tapping into yourself a little deeper to really realize what does make you happy, what really does elate you and give you joy. And, you know, it might just even be a walk on the beach or walk in the park or, you know, being with good, positive people, you know, even a trip to the museum, whatever it is, writing, you know, creation. I think creative writing is beautiful for those. I always tell people that, you know, just write down your feelings in a journal and, you know, that kind of eventually will become a little memoir. Nowadays, it's so beautiful to blog and be able to share positive information just as quickly as you can share negative, so be very conscious as to what you're spreading. So as far as writing, obviously because you wrote part of your journey, what can you share with the readers about writing?
I think you just hit a very, very important point to even answer one of your questions earlier, is how do you get yourself into an authentic state? I think journaling, you know, writing, when you're in your own spot, just letting yourself, you know, be with yourself and let it go from, you know, mind through your body and into your fingers, whether you're typing on a keyboard or using a pen or pencil. I think when we journal and write in a state like that, it's amazing how much it goes from just maybe you start off with some type of a negative connotation, usually get yourself going, and then once you allow yourself just to be there, your fingers start to flow. Inspiration starts to come. By the time you've finished your little journal, you've actually probably written yourself, you know, a nice little reminder note of how to live a better life, how to be more happy, be more at peace, whatever that is. And you know, the inspiration came through you for you. So I think that's one of the most wonderful things we can do for ourselves.
Yeah, and I do believe that what I wanted to share here was, you know, just write, you know, like they say, dance like no one's watching. Well, write like no one's reading, you know. Because if you write like that, you write from your heart. And I have to say, I was one of those, you know, prim and proper type of writers. It had to be perfect. And when I tried to live with perfection when it came to writing, nothing flowed. But the minute I just let myself go and just scribble and scribble and scribble, then, like, real stuff started coming out of me. Did you kind of get that as well?
I had that very much the same. I'm kind of a perfectionist. I wouldn't really call myself a total perfectionist, but I sure wanted it to be really, really good. And I would write and then rewrite and write so much that I became more into the future, if you will. I went into the future and I was worried that people wouldn't accept it or wouldn't be good enough or whatever, and the project would simply stop.
Yeah.
Creativity would stop. Everything just comes to an end. And then
writer's block?
Yeah, I think so. You start pushing. When you start pushing from a future state, you're no longer present. So the juice flow, the juice just stops.
Yeah.
If you just sit down and say, look, I'm going to write this as if I'm writing it to me. So I really wrote the book. The book really for me was for me. And it was, I wrote it for my children. If my children can understand it, that I was simply trying to tell them a story in 232 pages about some things that I found important along my journey, that maybe this might be helpful to them at some point in time when they're ready to step into that.
Well, that's wonderful, because I do believe that even for our viewers, our listeners, I really feel that, you know, pass some of this these messages on to your children as well, because I believe that, you know, they are the future of the world, and it would be lovely for them to kind of get the nuggets. And if we've gone through something in life and we have something to share, I mean, they're looking for wisdom, so I think this is a wonderful way to share it.
I totally agree. I think I've heard this before, and I would agree. There is a book in every one of us.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be wonderful, especially with the technology today?
Oh,
simply
yes.
Be able to take your cherished, you know, your each one of our cherished viewpoints, our whatever our contribution, our experiential, our intellect, our wisdom, you know, if each one of us could just get our story out and capture it in some way, blogging, writing us maybe the articles, or that might turn into a book, or just journaling in some way. There's always wisdom to be shared there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And also, you know, making a point to be around people that you can share things with. You know, I realize, you know, sometimes in social gatherings, you know, people have to play games or they have to have entertainment. Well, hang around with nice, smart people who are authentic, and you've got so much information. You don't need no games or anything to entertain people. I think you'll have good conversations that are very enlightening. So again, you know, just be with authentic people. I think that's very, work on your authenticity, and then you kind of start magnetically attracting people who are similar to you. Is that correct?
You just nailed it. I couldn't have said it any better.
So how can we share with the listeners, how does one remain authentic in such a challenging and changing world?
I think the first thing that I would suggest is realize that it's a process, and you're gonna miss it every day to some degree, and you're gonna miss it, you know, here and there, you know, on and off the rest of your life, and we can be authentic in many aspects of our life, but maybe there's an aspect in our physical, emotional, mental state, maybe even our spiritual state that we haven't yet quite opened up to. So there, like for example, you know, I've done a lot of work on myself, my emotional, my mental, and my spiritual side, while I've let my physical side kind of just wander. So while I might consider and be what I feel, expressing my authentic self in many aspects, I still may not have been really truly honest. I may not have been getting naked and getting real with myself in some aspect of my own life. But that's life. That's part of the journey, like you said earlier. It's like no sooner do we get to one hilltop, there's another one. And just finding the joy in the journey. You know, it might seem like a pain, or it might be a challenge, or maybe we're not there yet. But, okay, so what? We're all in the same boat. You know, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, smile a little bit, and then just get back out there.
Yeah, I agree. Being really honest with yourself, we're not perfect, and it's okay to fall off, or it's okay that something's happened, but don't beat yourself up. You know, get back, get real, get honest with yourself, and get back on. I always believe, you know, if you're on the wrong bus with the wrong people, get off. If you're on the wrong journey in the wrong direction, get off, wait at the bus stop until the right one comes along.
Bingo.
and we are hard on ourselves. I mean, I know perfectionists like me are hard on ourselves. How can one get out of that, you know, being so hard on yourself and knowing that who we are is enough?
The best thing I can give you was given to me by my spiritual teacher many years ago when I was having what would be called a dark night of the soul. And he said, there's one word and one word only that'll always get you out of trouble. And it's gratitude. And we can find, no matter how terrible or rough or challenging our situation is, if you take 5 minutes, either at the beginning of your day or at the end of your day, and just remember, what do you got to be grateful for? You can even, if you can't find something, you know, are you still breathing? Do you still have people that call you friend? You know, can you still get up and go down the street and buy your own groceries? You know, anything. There's so many things we can be grateful for. And I would suggest that as soon as you get yourself into a state of gratitude, you start getting that joy back in there. And like you said earlier, joy is really the key state. That's the center state that we're trying to get to. And gratitude is the superhighway, the key, the automatic, you know, door opener for that, at least for me.
Yeah, I do believe gratitude. And we've got so much to be grateful for. You know, most of us are healthy. We've got families. We've got friends, you know, and we take so much for granted. And I think this is a great time to just stop and just look around you. Look around your life, where you're at, who you're with, and really don't take people for granted. I do believe we make a lot of assumptions that, oh, but they know I love them, they know I care about them. They don't. So I think it's really important with the gratitude to even say you're grateful for things that people do for you. You know, the thank yous and, you know, it really means a lot that you do this for me. I mean, those little things, that's just reaffirming to the universe, and then it comes back tenfold over.
Doesn't it, though? You're so
it's
right.
It's so beautiful to share it. And then I do believe there's this magical exchange of giving and receiving. So, you know, when we give somebody a compliment, or when we have gratitude towards what someone has done for us, or for life, or for nature, or for, I mean, how many people really thank the universe for giving it oxygen, giving us oxygen every day, you know? I mean, I sometimes do. I go outside and you know, go talk to the birds and go to talk to the plants and you know, just really realize, God, how lucky we are to have what we have, you know? And I know
I just change your state.
Yeah, absolutely. And I go touch trees and, you know, it just helps me ground and root. I know people think you're crazy, but it's just acknowledging what's already there that people take for granted. And, you know, we really shouldn't, you know, we are so lucky to have what we have. And even the people, I think it's really nice sometimes we can make people's day just by letting them know, you know, that small gesture or that little thing you did for me, it really meant a lot to me. You know, that really does bring more of that into your life.
You want to give someone a gift, and you want to give yourself a gift, do exactly what you just said.
Yeah, I absolutely feel that's the highest form of gift you can ever give anybody, is a little gratitude, and also just letting them know what you think of them, especially if they're authentic. And then in ending, I can't believe the time's just flown by, but what advice could you give to our listeners who are ready to raise their consciousness and awareness?
If you're ready to raise your consciousness and awareness, you've got to find, you know, probably the best thing that I would suggest you do is pull out a journal, start journaling, and start reading a book. Go out to the library, go out to the bookstore, go online, and, you know, self-help spirituality sections, and just look around, and there'll be a book that'll jump off the shelf. You never know where it is. You never know what the topic is. Get started. Just start reading. Start doing a lot of self-reflection. Give yourself plenty of time. There's no hurry. You can't hurry this. You can't force it to happen. Just find a couple little outlets like that. You can go and grab, I'm not trying to plug my book, but you can go online. I've got a lot of free exercises.
And can you just give us your website right now so they can go directly
to
the website?
It's www.kevinrafferty.com, KevinRafferty.com. And under the book section, you can find a whole series of exercises that you do your own self-reflection, you know, in the quiet of your own mind, and start seeing yourself in a new light. And then you'll start sensing some power coming back in. And that power is awareness. That power is present. That's that state we want to invite people to get reacquainted with and to invite into their life more frequently. And then just start evolving a process. I mean, there's a lot of smart people out there. There's a lot of wise and spiritual people out there who are sharing their time and their wisdoms and their teaching. And in today's world, it's very inexpensive, if not free in many cases. Just open yourself up to it.
Well, thank you so much for taking your time and sharing your wisdom with us, and also sharing your book and your workbook with us. I'm sure everybody will go to the website, and we will have that listed on our LifeRx podcast site as well. And we greatly thank you. Thank you so much, Kevin. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks so much for having me, Eva. You have a good day.
Thanks, Kevin.
Too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I'd like to thank my guest, Kevin Rafferty, again for coming on the show and chatting with me. And don't forget, you can give us a call or send us an email at liferxpodcast@gmail.com or leave a voicemail for us at 415-322-8777. We love your feedback, so keep sharing them with us, and thank you so much for letting us know how much you're enjoying the show. So thanks again, and stay tuned, because we'll even have more for you next week. Namaste.